Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are going to do running back rundown here. I did running back snap reactions more as a trade-centric thing, so I did want to highlight this in terms of just any moving pieces here. I'm going to start first with the Dallas Cowboys. Zeke battling a little bit of an injury. Short week. It looks like it's knee, leg, ankle. It's unsure exactly what it is in terms of what it was. He got rolled up on, returned. Some thought it was like an ankle. I think we need to definitely look for reports for the end of the week. I haven't seen any reports that he's going to miss time or anything of that sort. But that is something. And we'll know because we're going to set lineups on Thursday for Thanksgiving with Dallas. We'll know. But I do think that is one story we will have to be watching. There was a split here this past week in terms of some usage, which is actually different than it has been in prior weeks. It has been much more Zeke-centric. 9 carries for Zeke this week, 32 yards, ran 32 routes, 7 for 50 for Pollard. So we'll see there in terms of what Zeke's health is. Pollard, premium one injury away guy. A couple spots where I have him, I might actually use this for a chance to sell for a first. So we'll see there. Dalvin Cook, locked in starter, been a big disappointment this year. So surprising there in terms of all of where he has been at, you know, in his career, has been a disappointment. And I think that where he falls in value, I mean, there was some Dalvin Cook running back one discussion this past offseason. I mean, it was just that wasn't that long ago that was happening. And as of right now, he's running back 13 in points per game at 16.5. So, and that's a full win, even more actually, about a full win, maybe a little bit more than behind Jonathan Taylor. So, a big difference there in terms of where they are at. You know, I think Madison continues to be an injury away high-end guy with a consolidated workload. The Madison theory would be in full effect any week that Cook is injured. Alvin Kamara still missing some time here with the Saints. We'll have to be watching practice reports early this week because, again, they are playing on Thursday. So a couple of early Thursday games this week that do make a difference in terms of lineups, difference-making high-end players that really going to matter. That will be something that we will need to watch for. The Saints did not practice on Monday. However, Kamara, DNP, they do like a simulated thing if you don't practice. He was a DNP on the simulated practice report there. So that is not a good start to the week. So hopefully Tuesday, Wednesday, we get a little bit more, again, abbreviated sort of quicker schedule because of the Sunday night football games this week, and we'll be watching for that. So Ingram, and again, this is a situation where Dallas just the Bills just got roasted by the Colts this past week. So it'll be a potential spot for the Saints to have some success through the run game with this matchup. So Ingram self-limited participant for Monday's practice. So he's trending right. Tony Jones was back for this past week. And so I think if you're looking for any waiver situations, I do think it's a spot where we get any Tony Jones shares you can potentially pick up. And listen, if this is a situation where Zeke is back, you know, and it's going to be kind of a long week for week heading into week 13 for them, you can potentially cut bait if Kamara plays. I think that's totally fine. We'll sort of address that as the week goes on. But pick up Tony Jones for now at any rogue shares. He's an injury way behind Ingram while Kamara's out, and then we'll sort of see what Kamara's status is. If Kamara's playing, practicing, maybe we can shift that share someplace else here going over the rest of the week. But three rushes for Tony Jones for compared to 16 for Mark Ingram. So really consolidated workload for Ingram. Ingram did have a fumble, but actually had 69 yards after contact. A very nice performance. Next up is the Detroit Lions, and DeAndre Swift locked into a leading role in the backfield. Jamal Williams made his way back, so good there for him. Godwin Igwabuki also remains, I think, fringe relevant. When Jamal Williams is back, Igwabuki, fine to move on from him. I think it's going to be outside of, 40 man or something like that. I do have some spots where he made a little bit of sense because it was a situation where it was either 40 man or you had really, really deep, like start one quarterback, non-tight end premium. So it really brings in like a lot of running backs in that setting. Those are places where I did add Igwabuki. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 10% share. It probably wasn't even that much. It's just tough at 28 man for him. And if Jamal Williams is going to be back, Jamar Jefferson might be back as well. Sort of watching that. You're just sort of hoping to catch a situation where he's got like a spot start. At this point, not really looking all that great. Jamar Jefferson listed as limited. Neither Jamal Williams nor DeAndre Swift listed on their practice report earlier this week. So this is a situation you probably can move off of Igwabuki where you have him. Up next is the Rams. You still have a situation where it is Daryl Henderson locked in as the lead back. He's performing fringe running back 1-2 type in terms of points per game performance and sort of in that range as well for expected points. So good performance there for him. I think he's going to clog up the situation for Akers in the offseason. It'll be really interesting to watch that scenario. Sony Michel, injury away guy. I think he's high value as well. Someone offered me a fourth for him. I got to look at my roster. Offered me Michelle for a fourth, and I have to check the roster. It's not typically a deal that I would make, but at that cost, it's actually a little interesting. I'll have to see if I can fit it in there in terms of the cost. But any rogue shares out there, clean up those rogue shares if people are for some reason thinking about cutting Sony Michel. Aaron Jones out, AJ Dillon in, and it's okay, right? Like it's not a smashing success, but listen, it's a spot start. I mean, you'll absolutely take his performance in week 11. He goes 11 for 53 on the ground. He goes 6 for 44 through the air, so you're looking north of 15 points. You'll absolutely take that. And a good performance. Again, there hopefully will be better performances in weeks to come. Hopefully that is week 12. A little Thanksgiving present for us. But he is running back 14 as of recording. I'm recording during the Monday Night Football game. So 15.7 points again. And then you just look at a couple of guys in front of him. You probably wouldn't have played Dontrell Hilliard, for example. That would be one you probably would not have played. So when you look at it, it's right on the running back 1-2 type cusp. And it's a pretty big, a teardrop after Dillon. Edwards-Helaire is right behind him in terms of stats. And then it's a three point drop off from the running backs thereafter. So he did represent sort of the end of a tier of scoring. So you feel good about that spot start. Hopefully another week here, it looks like, and then they head to a bye. We'll see, week 14 or so would be when you would expect Aaron Jones back. If you have Aaron Jones, you kind of want to see him in week 14 before you head to the playoffs. I think that'll be a situation that we definitely watch for. Clyde Edwards-Helaire returns for your Kansas City Chiefs, and this is it'll be an interesting situation. I did talk about in the Snap Reaction show where Daryl Williams is actually a starter on the season so far, top 24 running back, that I do not think will hold. But hey, listen, quick early returns from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, really good. He goes 12 for 63 and a touchdown. That's good. Over 3 yards per contact, 3 yards per attempt after contact. So that's also good. He ran 15 routes compared to 25 for Daryl Williams. That's a spot where we could watch and say, well, that's not ideal. Like, that's not what we're primarily looking for. So we'll see there that how that works. Darrell Williams involved a little bit at the end of last season when in some of the passing game work down the stretch, it wasn't just a straight Clyde Edwards-Helaire workload. However, I will say, when you look at the running score for the week, number one running back in terms of PFF rush score, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So coming back healthy and maybe can get on a tear for the second half of the season. I still think he's a buy. And again, I'm in that sort of mode of like, hey, let's buy for like a couple seconds. Non-core asset, like I think he's a core asset, and the way that we potentially value him, production profile, safety floor type way, maybe the ceiling isn't there. Right? You know, you get the people that drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire ahead of Jonathan Taylor that are probably kicking themselves right now, which I get. but I do think have a. Yeah, and I talked about this in the other running back show this week. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty in the range where he is at in the position. I think with Edwards-Helaire, you have a couple years of insulation at least with a job, assuming health. It's a pretty good floor type situation. Optimistic there. Darrell Williams continues to be a really good injury away guy. Leonard Fournette is currently playing as this game is recording, and it is a couple minutes left in the second half as I'm watching this. So if there's any breaking news, I will report it. Ronald Jones notably did get a touchdown. So that was an interesting rush there. And he hadn't got as much workload earlier on. Leonard Fournette is involved in the passing game early. So excited for that ultimately. Turning next to the Tennessee Titans, we lost Jeremy McNichols with a concussion this week, so hopefully we'll be on the return track here coming forward. Total quagmire in terms of their running game. Peterson drew the start. It was Hilliard after him. Deonta Foreman, the third running back in. I don't trust anybody. 9 carries for Peterson, 7 for Foreman, 7 for Hilliard. I thought coming into this week that Foreman was a really sneaky, like, flex play type option because you had what I thought was going to be a situation where they could get out, be a good favorite, right? And you had a 10-point favorite against a team where they get up, beat up on them a bit. Didn't come to fruition. So we'll see here in terms of going forward. I don't trust anybody. So maybe you get a week of consolidated work or something like that. But if it's going to be this quagmire type situation, stay far away. I don't think anyone outside of being the most desperate option, just because I don't know if we can get it right in any given week. And I don't want to, when games are really mattering here, I don't really want to be in that business. Turning next to the Atlanta Falcons, and we do have a potential depth chart changing situation. So Cordero Patterson missed. Mike Davis, Wayne Gallman. Right, we figured we'd sort of work in the rotation between the two of them. In fact, it was Kadre Allison, which is interesting. Kadre Allison cut in the offseason, ends up practice squad, makes his way back on the active roster with Patterson being out. A total of 13 carries for the backfield of just the running backs between Allison, Gallman, and Davis. 9 of them, Allison. So Davis goes 3 for 1. Gallman goes 1 for -3. Allison goes 9 for 34. Great? No. Interesting? Yes, for sure. When you look at the routes, it was 18 routes for Mike Davis, 9 for Allison. So maybe in a cap situation, might be saying, Jordan, like, who cares? Well, listen, Atlanta has a neutral offensive line in terms of run blocking, 17th in terms of PFF run blocking grade. Again, maybe not a ton of positive game script. They are giving up more than 100 more points than they're scoring, which is absolutely impossible. I'm almost not believing this number. They're scoring 178 and giving up 288, which is just seems absolutely incredible to believe. But yeah, so maybe not a ton of positive game script where you actually get into it. But interesting from a touch perspective. And listen, it's a third of the receiving work. I mean, there could be worse situations. We'll see. Maybe Mike Davis trends sort of out, right? It's a very much a situation, I think, to monitor. I think you need to make Allison a priority in terms of, I'm not saying it's a super high price, but I do think it is a price worth, more than just a min bid. It'd sort of be what my initial thought is. All right, New England, and this is a tandem backfield. I think it's the easiest way to say this. I think in weeks where you get one guy gets a shot, I think he can do some damage. I think where both of them are healthy, you're going to see this, right? You're going to see 22 carries split between them. You're going to see, about 125 yards split between the two of them. If one guy gets consolidated, that's good news between Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. Both of them grayed out pretty well. Stevenson, one of his better games of the season in terms of his PFF grade. It's actually the best game of the season. He's actually trended almost directly up. So good work there for him. And, we'll see here going forward. He has 10, 20, 12 carries the past 3 weeks. Again, I think this is a situation. Either of these guys can be a league winner for you. If the other one's hurt, this can really consolidate between the two of them. Notably, J.J. Taylor doesn't even play, so it doesn't even record any work. So, and I think he might have even been a game time inactive. So, good work, good news there in terms of this backfield. Again, I think you're starting either of them more on a flex type situation as we work our way forward, right? I think it's a running back two flex type situation. And then you sort of work off of what the game script is, right? This week, they're a home favorite. It's a low total. I mean, I think they're perfect probably in that running back two range. I would probably trust Harris more than Stevenson, but I think either of them could potentially be flex plays if you're in sheer desperation. And then, they have a week 14 bye. So, be interesting to watch here as we go forward. Not a big bye week this week. Not a ton of it's just Arizona and the Chiefs. So you will not, they might be down a peg in terms of where you would otherwise hope for them to be in the in the running back two type landscape with a lot of other options there. Might not feel great about either of them. There might be more flex type situations. Again, I trust Harris over Stevenson at present, but that could change in any given week. All right, with Vegas, Josh Jacobs, it's Peyton Barber, it's Kenyon Drake in the passing game. I feel like we pretty much kind of know what the situation is. I actually traded for Josh Jacobs in a league this week just because I needed some additional bodies in the backfield. It's 9 for 37. He doesn't score this past week. It's basically almost all of his work after contact. He breaks 5 tackles, so that's good work there on him. And then he goes 5 for 24 in the passing game. He runs 19 routes to Drake's 8, so he's getting some passing game work. I think that's some notable stuff there for him. For Jacobs, he's staying alive with not a ton of upside, but staying alive. Getting some of that passing game work. I think that's actually notable and maybe a post-Gruden development here as we look at this team heading down the stretch. Jonathan Taylor, I don't want to talk about it. Mac behind him. Yep, Hines in the receiving game. We got it. I can't talk about that one anymore. Baltimore and we get Latavius Murray back. We get Devonta Freeman basically as a tandem between the two of them. We get Le'Veon Bell cut. It's 26 touches between the two of them, 16 for Freeman, 10 for Murray. They rush for a very similar 3.1 and 3.2 yards per attempt. The routes, 21 for Freeman, 10 for Murray. So this is very much a Freeman, I think you feel more comfortable putting him in the lineup and maybe reverting back to Latavius Murray as an injury away type at present. So for them this upcoming week, they will be a home Sunday night game where they're a favorite against Cleveland. So, not probably the greatest matchup in terms of playing Freeman, but you feel, again, it's probably in that running back two type spectrum. And again, you can probably cut Le'Veon Bell where you have him. Elijah Mitchell out this past week. You also had Jamichael Hasty out this past week. Both of them injured. I think the hope, again, I'm not going to believe that anything that Kyle Shanahan says until it's written in a tombstone. So we'll see there. I think there's some hope that he will be back, that Elijah Mitchell will be back here in the coming week or so. But you have Trey Sermon playing only 10 carries, 32 yards this past week. Jeff Wilson goes 19 for 50, but he does have a fumble. Sermon is the better PFF grade, though it is marginal at 59.7. They run about an equal amount of routes, not very many. So this is a situation where, you know, we'll see what ultimately comes of it. You know, even in this game, like, they played Debo more, right? And it's just, you kind of have some frustration here with the whole situation. So we'll see, hopefully, in a future iteration of this team that we get some cash out from Trey Sermon. Najee Harris locked in. He took a pretty hellacious hit in this game. And I was watching it. It was cringeworthy. And it was like, oof, it looked really bad. Then he returned. So I'm always interested by the objectivity and some of the subjectivity that these of the doctors, because almost initially I was like, wow, it almost doesn't look like a concussion, because he was like fidgeting with, and I've seen this happen a couple times this year where they're like fidgeting with their helmet. And I don't know if it's a different fit or whatever, but it almost seemed to have like a non-concussion related, had an injury is probably too big of a word for it, but like it almost created like discomfort, whether it was like kind of hitting on like the side of the face or whatever. Like, this is the second time I've actually seen it this year where it was like a very similar situation. And so that was one that he made it back for. So I was really happy to see that. It was a mix of Ballage and Snell when Harris was gone. So we'll see how this ultimately works out. But I think I have some, you know, if I can get the chance to collect, I'd share. These guys are lower level, they're lower level confidence guys at this point, just because it's a pretty big mix. I think it's valuable if you get it, but it's a pretty big mix in terms of where they are at. High confidence here. It's Chase Edmonds being backed up by James Conner. Chase Edmonds out, James Conner in. Boom. Good there in terms of all of that. James Conner comes in this past week, and you know, it's not a huge upside scenario, but listen, you get a backup running back with the backup quarterback. Like, you'll take 21 for 62 and a touchdown. Like, you'll take it. Five catches for 37 yards. You'll take all of it. Right? That's a fine scoring game for you, and you'll take that. That is actually running back 7 at present. So that is a successful spot start for your backup running back. Again, I think you're supposed to get more games here in terms of this. You're excited about that here going forward. Next up, Carolina Panthers. It's McCaffrey at the top of the position. And then you've got Chuba Hubbard, the injury away guy, notably Amir Abdullah, one carry this week. I still think it's Hubbard being the lead injury away guy there. And McCaffrey's basically almost 100% of the workload. No real difference here for Denver. We still have their committee situation, and they're coming off a bye. So this is, I think, still the same situation for them. And I think they're probably going to play this out. I have to imagine that they see themselves as a potential playoff team. They have a positive, and not that I think the coaching staff or anything is looking at this situation is like, oh yeah, like, hey, we have a positive scoring differential and all these things, like here are PFF grades and all that stuff, but they have a positive scoring differential. Like, they could very easily be 6-4. I wouldn't be super, super concerned about them changing any Melvin Gordon workload if you're depending on him. I wouldn't be super optimistic about Javonte Williams being all of a sudden this new and really interesting upside guy for the stretch run. I think it's very much a status quo type situation. You're really hoping for a 2022 Javonte Williams breakout. All right, next up is Saquon Barkley and the Giants. They're playing on Monday night. It is mid third quarter. Nothing really notable has happened, so take that for what it's worth. Turning next to the Chicago Bears, and it's a consolidated situation. David Montgomery, 14 carries, one carry for Khalil Herbert. I think we kind of know who the injured way guy is. We can cut Damien Williams. 19 routes for David Montgomery, 2 for Khalil Herbert. So I think we have a pretty good idea of what this backfield looks like. It is a David Montgomery-centric backfield. Again, it's running back 24 as of me recording this. So not a huge output, but again, we'll see here. They have a short week and are a favorite against the Lions here in week 12, which is incredible to say out loud for, I think, the first time of the year. All right, next up is your Cincinnati Bengals. Talked about this in the snap reaction stuff a little bit. Mixon is just scoring a lot of points because – I'm not knocking this, but he's healthy, right? Like, you're going to score a lot of points when you're healthy. And that's what he's basically, if you've been healthy and been a top 24 guy coming into the season, you're either a top 8 guy or you're Antonio Gibson or Javonte Williams. Right? That's kind of what your deal is. And, for Mixon, like, this is one of his better seasons for sure. And might put him in a different realm. Again, I don't know how much his cost goes up. And I'm probably not doing a ton to go break the bank in terms of going towards him. Like, this is primarily a volume-based season, which is fine. He's a little bit better in some of the ancillary metrics. And that's good. But this isn't. I don't think he's some revolutionary running back now. He's better, and he's healthy. I don't think this is we are turbocharging our opinions on Joe Mixon. I think he's fine, in the running back 1-2 type fringe where he has been. Miles Sanders returns, and this one's actually notable because Miles Sanders is back, and now we actually have Jordan Howard going to miss some time, it looks like, here. So this is a notable situation. Miles Sanders, he might be an actual add here at the trade deadline. I don't know what the market's going to be, but if he's outside the top 20 in terms of running back cost, top 25 in terms of running back cost, I'm interested. So if that's the throw into a bigger deal, I'm interested. If it's a second plus something that's not a core asset, I'm interested. Those sorts of things, I'm interested with him, and especially in this new look, high volume offense. Was he good? Not great. No, it was 16 for 94. He had a fumble, 3 forced missed tackles. That's pretty good. But you look, 10 carries for Jordan Howard. Looks like Jordan Howard's going to miss some time here. Boston Scott puts himself into the injury away type role, would sort of be the thought, and where this backfield lies at present. So definitely watching that Jordan Howard injury and sort of the where that puts us here going forward. It looks like it should only be a week injury or two, maybe. Sirianni was pretty optimistic, alluding to the fact that they dodged a bullet with his injury. So optimism, but I think this does lock in a start here for Miles Sanders. Next up is Seattle, and this is just a total cluster. I've got no idea how we're going to get right. It's just not. I don't know if it's gettable. I'm not sure. We're gonna. We're just. This is a Alex Collins 10 carries 36 yards. It's DJ Dallas 4 for 25. 2 for 19 for Penny, 1 for 4 for Homer. So again, my optimism that, hey, this is consolidating around Collins last week, like, yeah, it's great. He's 10 of 17, so he's seeing a majority of the carries. You're getting other work out of other guys. He thought it was a little bit more consolidated. I don't have a great feel. It's only four routes for Collins, which ranks third on the team behind Dallas and Penny, and Homer runs only two of them. It makes zero sense. Like, there's no consistent weaving of threads. I do think that Collins is probably your best bet. I don't know if it's the best bet that you can make, you know, in that range, the position we're probably struggling. So that's sort of the thought. Again, I think you hold your guys. I'm not cutting people, but I'm struggling to start people. Again, if maybe an injury happens or a benching and all of a sudden, like, this is a consolidated situation, I have a great feel for it past that. Notably, I think Carson, you know, we'll see here if he's going to be, you know, what his long-term prognosis is. I'm hopeful for that he's going to be back and playing this year. I don't have the greatest sense of this. And, you know, I know one of our subscribers in the GroupMe chat did discuss the fact that he had a similar injury, and he actually was the first one. It was Derek. He actually said early on, like, I bet he's out for the year, which is turned out to be prescient. So we'll see here in terms of going forward what that situation ultimately looks like. All right, next up, James Robinson. It's James Robinson. He's good. We'll see where he ends up through the course of this year. He's dealing with his heel injury again. See where he ends up in the offseason. With Etienne, I think is an interesting one. But no, I do think I've been really pleasantly surprised by him. And he was a player I liked coming out. He has defied all odds from where he's been at. And, you know, he goes 12 for 29 this week. It wasn't a great situation for him because you get the, they kind of got pounded on a little bit by San Francisco that early, like, it was like a 13-minute drive that San Francisco ended up settling for a field goal on. And then they sort of get behind in game script and all that stuff, and you don't really see a good game from James Robinson. But he's basically the workhorse here for this backfield here going forward. Next up is the Jets. This is an interesting situation, a little bit of a moving, some movement going on. I think Ty Johnson could be a potential starter-ish. We'll have to watch for the workload here. It looks like going to miss a couple weeks for Michael Carter. We'll see Tevin Coleman. I think Tevin Coleman in the rushing game, maybe Ty Johnson a little bit more in the passing game. I think that could be something that we potentially see. They've already had their bye, so any actual, like, 2 to 4 weeks missed from the high ankle sprain are going to actually be 2 to 4 weeks actually missed in terms of giving up. This is a game where the Jets are actually a road underdog to Houston, which, I mean, I wouldn't maybe turn it on, but interesting nonetheless. I mean, listen, if they're going to be a road underdog, like, maybe this is a game where Johnson gets involved. I am officially interested. And listen, there have been difference-making players that have come from weirder spots. Would I put a lot of money on the fact that Ty Johnson's going to be a big-time difference maker? No, but he did lead them in routes run this past week with 12. 9 for Tevin Coleman, 7 for Michael Carter. Again, Michael Carter did miss some time with the injury. Michael Carter actually graded out pretty well pre-injury. So we'll see there how this works out. Notably, 5 carries for Tevin Coleman, 16 yards, only 1 for Ty Johnson for 5 yards. So this, again, we've talked about this scenario before. In the event Michael Carter goes down, I do think Tevin Coleman's probably the beneficiary from the rushing perspective. I think Ty Johnson's the beneficiary from the passing perspective. I think Ty Johnson's probably the better play. Is that, do you feel, I'd rather probably start Damian Harris in a game where they're a favorite than Ty Johnson, but you sort of get the idea, like, that's just the range that you're talking about. Again, if something happens to Tevin Coleman, all of a sudden, like, you could have a running back too. So, and with Tevin Coleman's history of being not particularly sturdy, you could see a Ty Johnson start. It wouldn't be terribly surprising. All right, next here is Houston, and we do get some David Johnson work early and in the running game, which I think are two notable, two notable distinctions here based on some of the work that we've seen in past weeks. He gives 13 carries right out the gate, basically is leading, and then you get Rex Burkhead actually comes in later and gets 18 carries for 40 yards. I don't have a great sense of this backfield. I don't think it's that productive. 16 routes for David Johnson. He goes 3 for 16, so a yard per route run. 7 total routes between Burkhead and Lindsay. So basically 2/3 from David Johnson. They do nothing in the passing game for Lindsay and Burkhead combined. That's kind of what your situation is at present. I don't feel great about starting anyone here. Maybe if Burkhead goes down or something, like maybe if there's multiple injuries, this is a situation where you could start David Johnson. But I really don't feel good about it pretty much at all. Okay, next up is Miami, and you have this. There's actually a changing landscape, so this is good. Duke Johnson, former Houston Texan, Duke Johnson, activated from the practice squad, and is the appear to be the injury away guy, playing ahead of Salvin Ahmed. Ahmed was actually inactive, so Duke Johnson, I think, is a priority add on your waiver wire at this point, and yeah, that's I think really it. Miles Gaskin, he's kind of is what he is, and we'll see, long term what they want to do with that position. If you're going from an analytics perspective, you would say, like, hey, we're not going to invest a ton in it. They haven't, and they kind of keep sort of going through these guys. Gaskin this week posted top running back one finish, and again, you sort of have the workload, you're gonna do some of that stuff, and 89 yards on the ground, 7 receiving yards and a touchdown, right? Those things good. That said, 22.7 expected receiving yards, he produces only 7. So he gets the opportunity, gets the workload there. I think that there's maybe a bigger situation here for a better running back. We'll see. Total wasteland for Buffalo. I've got no idea sort of what we're going to do in any given week. I will say Breida playing involved again, best rushing grade again for them. He goes 5 for 51. The other guys, a combined 6 carries between Singletary and Moss for 22 yards. So Breida maybe consolidating. I think he's an add and that running back 3 landscape that you could potentially have in your teams. If you're kind of keep whittling down there, I think he's one to potentially add there. And maybe a shot down the stretch if something were to happen. The problem that I just don't know is if we're ever going to feel comfortable with his starting situation. I just don't know if we're ever going to get to that point. So we'll see. Austin Eckler is a god. We don't know much about after him. I mean, I posted this question and I just kind of did it offhand. And maybe I got to go back and like relook at this. But would you rather have Austin Eckler or would you rather have Saquon Barkley? Because, and I'm not totally saying that the answer is Eckler, and I know that there's some age differences, all that stuff, but it's been a while since Barkley's been better than Eckler. So it's just interesting. In total here, it's Roundtree playing 5 yards on 2 carries behind Eckler. Justin Jackson adds a carry for 2 yards. 8 routes for Roundtree, 3 for Justin Jackson. So again, in your weekly roulette of how these guys unfold, like that's the order. It could totally change next week and be entirely non-predictive of what is going to happen in the week after. All right, last but not least, the Washington football team. And I got to say, I think maybe one of the bigger disappointments this season has been Antonio Gibson. It hasn't been a great season for him, and I think he's let some of his fantasy owners down. However, he actually had a good game, 19 for 93 yards. The problem, he fumbled. 6 forced missed tackles. Like, there's some good ancillary stuff, but the fumbles holding him back, the lack of production in the passing game, consistent issue. He's blanked on 8 routes. There wasn't a ton for other people. It was 2 targets for J.D. McKissic. He had 4 yards on 1 reception. So it wasn't like there was a ton going on there. Split share of non-Gibson workload, 7 rushes for McKissic, 7 for Jarrett Patterson. So for what that's worth, I don't think this is a clear like handing over of the reins from Antonio Gibson to Jarrett Patterson, but I do think like there is some level of insecurity here. Maybe I wouldn't necessarily love to play him, you know, if I have, maybe I'm breaking ties away from him. That might be until I sort of get a little bit better sense of where we're at. Again, they're a home Monday night football game against Seattle next week. So we'll see. Like, that'll be nationally televised for all the Antonio Gibson information to be consumed by the mass public. But we'll watch there for that. Again, I would probably, it's a good matchup for them. That said, I'm not sure I totally trust it, and I question some of the upside for him. So, but that'll pretty much do it for the running back rundown this week. Again, I wanted to sort of do a full one just to sort of get us a full understanding of where we are before the trade deadlines, and so that way you can get any shares that you have. I might add Ronald Jones. He's a free agent into the Flyers and trade negotiations. So if you can just add him on, again, he's an injury away guy in the event that something happens to Fournette. And I think that Ronald Jones could be helpful to someone in free agency as well. And maybe that's an injury away guy, maybe that's better. But I think he's an interesting guy that could potentially see an uptick here going forward. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.